This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Matt Patrick here today. So, Patrick, yesterday we talked about the ghost story. Now, have you seen the photos that I posted up on social media, perchance?
I actually just took a look today, and I did have a thought about it.
All right. And so, just for everyone out there, on Saturday night, we did a scavenger hunt. And it was a great idea to get out of the house. You did teams, so you were kind of people with, we did, my daughter and I, so we were safe. We didn't have to have face masks on the entire time. And we were social distance. And we went around from site to site to site and took pictures and sent it in. Now, the key is don't make it a race, because then you don't want people getting arrested or tickets or, getting into accidents. So you just, you kind of let them take it at their own speed. And that's what we did. And, one of the stops was at the Shady Oak Cemetery. Now, I took two pictures there, one of me taking a picture of my daughter, second one of my daughter taking a picture of me. And the picture of me on one of the gravestones, which you can see in the background of my daughter's picture, there's this red flash that is there, which I just thought was, and I was hamming it up for the camera, so I was pretending to be scared, and all of a sudden I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Now, we've had, first of all, once again, it wasn't a car reflecting off of Shady Oak Road, because just if you look at the way it's configured, it wouldn't have happened that way. I do not think it's a ghost. I've had some people who think it is, who think that, Matt, that's what happens. You take a picture and sometimes there's a glow in spirit there. Okay, I don't want that. I mean, if I just got to hang out by my gravestone the entire time, I mean, okay, yikes. But it's kind of one of those things where, some people, because of ghost hunters and ghost adventures and all these ghost shows, that this is they'll make a big deal for 45 minutes out of a glowing speck on a piece of film. And so a friend of mine, this was actually quite brilliant. I am very happy about this. He did a crime scene kind of reconstruction, David Holmes, a friend of mine. And he basically put me in like it was the Zapruder film, for goodness sakes, on how it was. He is convinced a car taillight created this. Now, I do not think it was a ghost. I think it was a glitch with the phone. Here is the problem that I have with that theory. One, there was no car there. It wasn't. There was no car there. And the reason I can say that is because we were on a scavenger hunt and we'd already run into another team at one other site. So we were seeing if there was another team. We would have looked and seen if there was another team, because that's what happened when we were at other sites. And once again, I didn't notice this glowing red speck until the next day. So if a car would have pulled into the Lone Lake Park entrance, I would have seen it, because we were keeping an eye out for the other teams. No car pulled in. Now, I also think that there is, if you take a look at the picture, it's a pretty, considering the distance from the road, I have a hard time believing that would be a taillight reflecting. I think it's a glitch with the camera.
It was way too bright to be a taillight reflection. It's big and reddish orange.
I'd say it's 75 to 100 feet from the road to where that gravestone was. I can't believe that'd be a taillight reflection. Now, could it be? I don't know. Maybe it could do something like that, but there was no car there. I think it was a glitch with the phone. Patrick, what is your theory about it?
I haven't thought about it, just I don't think it's a taillight.
No, do you think it's a ghost?
Maybe.
It's a lot of people think that. I mean, I think it's a glitch with the camera. The sun was down. It was getting dark. Although, I mean, the pictures look brighter than it is. It was starting to get dark at that point. I know some people want me to be the, you know, the definitive proof here, but I think that we all can realize that's probably not the best option, is me being the definitive proof. But no, I think it is. You know, it's kind of fun to a point, but I'll say it like I said yesterday. Come on. You've seen these ghost shows. You've seen the Bigfoot shows. You've seen the alien shows. You know, they basically, it's all about, you know, there was a rustling in the bushes. Was it a Sasquatch? We'll tell you after the commercial break. And it wasn't. It was, you know, a squirrel. You know, it's like, is that a ghost? Oh, no, that's just Phil. He's coming back with some pizzas. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. It's I don't think it's anything there. So, but I will say this. I mean, if you are trying to disprove this, I'm not trying to prove it. I'm not the one saying, look, definitive proof. I think it's a glitch on my camera. But if you think it's a ghost, and you can, you know, if you think it is a ghost, I'm not gonna, you know, that's, you want to do it, fine. I mean, is that what we all have looking forward to us? You know, just hoping your neighboring gravestones aren't some real jerks or anything like that, just hanging around. Just to guess or reflect off the headstone again. Woo! Glowy, glowy, glowy. All right, I'll stop that for another 20 years. No. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. I want to start off today with the just stunning level of denial we are still at in regards to the Republican Party and Joe Biden winning the election. It's over. You know, it just, he today at his vaccine summit, he starts an election rant. We were rewarded with a victory. No, you weren't. You lost. You lost. You lost in Pennsylvania. You lost in Michigan. You lost in Wisconsin. You lost in Georgia. You lost in Arizona. You lost. And, you know, and part of this, by the way, is this is the solace the Republicans are taking in losing this election. Because, reminder, I've talked about this, you know, ad nauseum. Republicans' main trait today, the Trump voters' main trait, is that they own the libs, that they prove those guys are wrong. Look at them cry. Cry, baby, liberals. That's who these people are. And it is the most important thing for them. It is, you know, their base, because their base can't look in the mirror and say, I'm the screw up. They have to be able to blame the liberals. And so this entire presidency, the culture of the right that we are in right now is one where it's basically, let me just drink up those liberal tears. Delicious. Well, they lost. And they lost fair and square. They did. There is no debate about it. They lost. But yet this notion is, it's almost like this is the solace they're having. And once again, they hear people saying, what are you talking about? No, Joe Biden won the election. And they say, see, you got him. And they don't hear no, you're a loon ball. The sun is bright. Water is wet. Joe Biden is the president-elect. Ta-da! They don't hear that. They just hear, you're complaining. They're upset because I said it. I got him again. And this is what they have become. Because they are to a point a cult. The Republicans are to a point a cult. They worship one man overall. They don't care about democracy. Listen to what they're suggesting. They said there was voter fraud. So every time they went to a court, outside of one time they went in, they got about 12 votes, a few dozen votes disqualified in Pennsylvania. But every other time they've gone in, the judge says, you're putting out speculation. You have no evidence. And they say, and they feel as if that should be enough, that the fact that they want something to be fraudulent should be enough to declare it fraudulent. And the judge looks at them and says, no. And it's not Democratic judges. It's a lot of Republican judges who are saying, no, you can't just do this. They have gone to Republican legislature after Republican legislature after Republican legislature and Republican governor after Republican governor, and they've said, hey, just throw out the election results. Just throw them out. Think about what they're suggesting. That the will of the people, and of course, they'll say, hey, well, we had just asked if they could. I mean, he's the one that did it. He's the one that's culpable. If we're going to try, you know, prosecute someone for treason, it's that Secretary of State or it's that governor or it's that, you know, that the legislative leader. But they've actually suggested throwing out the votes of tens of millions of people just so that they could win. And this isn't this exactly what we have as a United States used to fight other countries about? Didn't we used to call out other countries where it was clear the opposition leader won, and then lo and behold, the fixed Supreme Court of that country threw out 20 million votes, and they all happened to be for the other guy, and oh, our guy won? Didn't we used to basically say, hey, you can't do that? Now we're just doing it ourselves. Today, there was a joint committee. It's supposed to be a nonpartisan committee. It's a joint committee that basically, you know, all they do is they sit there. They, you know, the joint House-Senate inaugural committee refused to declare Joe Biden the president-elect. This isn't some local, small, rural county commissioner that's doing this. This is, you know, the members of the committee on the Republican side are Mitch McConnell and let's see who are the other ones here. Roy Blunt Jr. of Missouri and Kevin McCarthy of California. They're outright refusing to acknowledge it because they're trying to find some way to where they can say Joe Biden was installed as the president. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to find some way to not have to say our guy lost. And they're doing it partially because they can see everyone saying, well, you're crazy. No, Joe Biden won. And they think that, oh, we're owning the libs. But as well, it's just the fragile, broken psyche of the conservative right in this country. They have to find some way to accept that Joe Biden's winner without declaring him the winner. And everything that they have suggested, every bit of fraud, it's laughable beyond laughable. For God's sakes, bar the attorney general, the guy who has been Trump's fixer for the last year, the man who has scoffed at the law to make sure that Trump is insulated and protected. Even he, William Barr, could not find anything justifiable to overturn this election. And what did the Republicans immediately do to the Trump fixer, the guy who has violated the Constitution more than any attorney general in my lifetime? What did they do? Well, Bill Barr is part of the swamp now. Is he? I don't think he is. I think he realizes he can't just, unless we are in a made-up dictator coup of a world, that he can't just install Trump as president. He can't just create out of thin air problems. Even the Republicans themselves on the national level. I mean, Ted Cruz has said, I want to go argue the case before the Supreme Court that the election should be thrown out and Trump should be installed as a president. They even acknowledge, yeah, we have no evidence of this. We have no evidence, but something happened. Yeah, you got your asses kicked. That's what happened. And there isn't a single Republican today, who in 2016, under an incredibly similar presidential race outcome, where a handful of states proved to be the difference makers, some of those states within a few thousand votes. Back in 2016, the same exact people who are outright refusing to acknowledge that Joe Biden won were furious because Hillary Clinton took as long as she did to concede, which she did on the day after the election. They were furious about her conceding. It took too long. She should have conceded last night. Why didn't she concede already? Barack Obama welcomed in Trump to the White House the day after that. The Republican Party, I don't know where you guys go from here. But you are, think about where you're at. You are at the point of openly encouraging the overthrow of democracy just to make your supporters feel good about themselves. I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. When we come back, we had another dog and pony show, this one in the state of Minnesota, with Mary Kiffmeyer, who's, I'm just waiting for the 497th declaration of victory. Why aren't you Democrats for due diligence? We'll get to that when we come on back. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. You know, the wild thing is that you put this in conjunction as well with the coronavirus and how these people will insist the worst country on the planet, and particularly the worst states on the in the worst country on the planet, are doing the best. They're convinced. Look, aren't they doing a great job of dealing with this? And everyone else is looking at them like, are you crazy? No, they're not. They're doing a horrible job of it. And so you have, you have this just massive level of delusion that they just can't seem to escape. And I, you know, there is something mentally wrong with not only the people who just cannot admit, oh, I guess we lost. I guess I would like to have seen them win, but I guess we lost. And there's something seriously wrong with a person that can't just say that. Instead is like, yeah, there were aliens that came down with Sharpies, and there was a box in a car, and a guy looked at something, and you need to throw out every Democratic ballot. But only the presidential race. Every other race that won for the Republicans on that ballot, which, by the way, should be a huge red flag to my theory, but I'm going to ignore that. All those votes can stay, but it's just the presidential race ballot. That one question on those ballots, that all has to be thrown out. It's science, Matt. It's science. You guys are freaking nuts. Someone suggested that the glowing red dot on the cemetery, it might be something else. What was the suggestion?
Graveyard camera that monitors for vandalism.
And who is that? Mike in Columbia Heights?
Yeah, that's correct.
That's not a bad. I did not see it, but that could be it. Just caught it correctly. That's actually a viable. I'll have to go take a look at that. Thanks a lot to Todd Cole at sponsoring AM 950 Radio this week. You can sponsor us too. Just call us 952-946-8885. 952-946-8885. And you can sponsor it. Todd lives in Spain, loves the station. We love him. He basically sponsors us. We're very grateful for that. And by the way, he wants to make sure he mentioned, if you go to actblue.com, you can donate to both Georgia Senate races. Let the Democrats win in both those races. Let the Democrats take control of the Senate. There would be a lot of the problem right there. Let's just be honest. So help out if you can. Once again, that's ActBlue. I'll put a post up on that for the social media a little bit later on. Rich is in Lakeville. Wanted to chime in. Welcome on in, Rich.
Matt, how you doing?
All right, sir.
Real quick, the thing is with Trump is that he has been such a bully to the Republican Party that they are so afraid of him. They're so absolutely afraid of that man. It's just unbelievable that when he leaves office, when they finally drag him out of the office for the next 4, 5, 6 years, whatever he says, even out of office, the Republicans are going to be afraid to go against him, because he'll still unmercilessly attack them like he has been. They've created a monster.
Oh, they have?
They don't know how to put the cap back in the bottle, the genie back in the bottle. He is the Republicans' worst enemy.
I was going to actually, Rich, it's very interesting to bring this up, and thanks, Rich, I appreciate the phone call. I'm actually going to ask Stein that tomorrow, because I actually think in the history of American politics, there has been no bigger mistake by a political party. I mean, the Whigs basically made slavery mandatory, which then drove the people who were anti-slavery out of the Whigs. So that one decision by the party killed the political party. But this is what they have done is, you know, the problem that what Trump saw is that the racist voted Republican. And so if he was racist, that the most fervent, ardent Republican supporters would support him, and that they were, and there's an, and this is the big ugly secret of the Republican Party. There's a lot of those people in the Republican Party, enough to sway pretty much any state caucus or primary. And so they knew they had a problem there, but yet they couldn't get out of their own way. And so what I think to prevent them from having to realize, oh my God, we got a horrible racist, that's when they went into this owning the lib stuff. And once again, that has become the only thing a lot of Republicans care about is owning the libs. And that is, it's terrifying. I mean, look, sure, my grandma's dead, but COVID's not that bad. She's just part of the conspiracy theory. We're waiting for her to wake up from her coffin and come back to life, because this is just a liberal conspiracy. I mean, they're nuts. And when you get people like Mitch McConnell, and let's face it, McCarthy, McConnell, Blunt, these guys are not fringe guys. They're going with this because they are terrified of going against Trump. And so they're desperately trying to figure out something. And of course, they will wait until it will be the last possible moment before Biden is sworn in, and they'll finally concede it, and they'll act as if this is normal. If you look back on history, there has rarely been a question. I mean, you can go back to the John Quincy Adams, Andrew Jackson fiasco with the House selecting the president that year. You can have questions about when William Henry Harrison died and John Tyler became president. People didn't know how the right of ascension worked in the White House at that point. You know, we can go back to Nixon and Ford coming in. There have been moments in history where the presidential race has been in question, but there's never been anything like this, where a clear winner has won the election, and it's going to be the day before the inauguration where maybe a third of the Republican Party finally says, okay, fine, yes, Joe Biden won. What's wrong with you people? Due diligence. We were just – you're the ones that are trying to rush everything. And that's the crazy part. Two-thirds of that party will never acknowledge that he won. He was installed. He was installed when all those people voted for him. They should have thrown out all those votes. And because they didn't, he cheated. He cheated by winning the votes. Like I said, one of my favorite things to do with conservatives is ask them the question. So are you saying that only the presidential race, so like in Mitch McConnell's race, that in Kentucky, that race was, you know, that the presidential race might have been fixed, but McConnell's seat's okay? Because it would seem to me that the ballot was fraudulent. Wouldn't the entire ballot be fraudulent? Wouldn't no Republican would have won up and down the line? The crazy train continued here in Minnesota. Secretary of State Steve Simon on Tuesday blasted questions from Republicans at the legislature. He said, are bolstering and dangerous conspiracy theories intended to discredit the administration of election systems in Minnesota and across the country? This hearing is not taking place in a vacuum. It is taking place in the middle of a national tidal wave of disinformation, Simon said. I will not at this hearing amplify or dignify conspiracy theories. Simon, the state's top election official, testified before a Republican-led Senate committee hearing called to review the administration and security of the 2020 election based on anecdotal reports of voting regularities. So I want to make sure this whole point, the entire reason this entire thing has been called forward is, you know, there's a guy who's a guy that talked about the guy who was over there. He was down by the dumpster and he overheard a conversation that was over in the next dumpster over that there might have been someone who did something with a vote. You know what we need to do with that? We need to have a full Senate investigation. Wow. That's basically, I mean, and by the way, if you had that kind of evidence, that would seem like solid evidence compared to what the Republicans are pulling forward. The hearing comes more than a week after Minnesota certified its election results, which showed Trump lost Minnesota to Joe Biden by more than 233,000 votes. Led by Trump, some Republicans continue clinging to claims of voter irregularities or a rigged election without providing any evidence, including the Minnesota GOP chairwoman Jennifer Carnahan, the Grand Canyon herself. Simon said his own family, as well as election officials in other states, have been subjects of violent threats based on baseless claims of election fraud. Those lies are tearing us apart, he said. They are poisoning our democracy. He added, any member, regardless of party or testifier, regardless of viewpoint, who indulges that kind of recklessness, who tolerates it, who encourages it, or even hints at it, I must say is coating themselves into shame that will never, ever wash off. Senator Mary Kiffmeyer, who has hated Steve Simon because he's such a better Secretary of State than Mary Kiffmeyer ever was, called the hearing after previously sending a lengthy list of questions to Simon's office that asked, among other topics, for a list of all electronic hardware security and ballot tabulating procedures. She said Simon's December 1st response answered many, but not all of her questions. I still have questions. You're going to have questions. I got a lot of questions about you, Mary. Which is why she called the hearing. It is certainly appropriate for us to be able to ask these questions as well. And by the way, without being accused of nefarious motives just because we're asking questions. Mary, your motives are nefarious. Mary, you're a sore loser. Mary, Trump lost. You are just a sore loser who doesn't have the spine or the backbone to go back to your voters and tell them, hey, better luck next time. You're a coward, Mary Kiffmeyer. You are a coward. And I will tell you to that your face every time I ever see you. I will tell you, you'll just scream, coward. That's me. Hi. Kiffmeyer is just, she's part of the problem. Like Gazelka, like all the rest of these guys. They are only in it for their party. They don't care about, we got a pandemic going on. These people don't care about the pandemic. They're going, let's talk about conspiracy theories and elections. They don't care about the Minnesota people. They don't care about that people who are dying. They don't care about fair elections. They only care about their own agenda. And Mary Kiffmeyer is just plain dirty wrong. Which... Kiffmeyer said she rejected Simon's assertion that asking questions about elections is in itself shameful or some sort of shameful activity. I don't know. So, I mean, when someone comes back to you with that, something like that, you know, you is it fair for me to just say, well, I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question. You know, see, this is the problem that these people have, is that they just try to move the goalpost and change the playing field anytime they're out there to where it's some sort of win. You enhancing, enabling, encouraging these kinds of outlandish conspiracy theories about the election are the reason why this is trouble. And no, yeah, and no, Steve Simon is not wrong. And yes, you shouldn't just be asking a question just because you can answer it. Because I just asked a question that was pretty obnoxious, wasn't it? And it was pretty out of line for me to ask it, right? But I'm not going to sit here and you know, when you're like, oh my, I'm not going to, how dare you? Well, hey, I'm just asking a question. Simon, who spoke for 30 minutes, also took questions from other state senators, including State Senator Jeff Howell, a Republican from Rockville, who asked whether Simon could support a forensic audit of the election. Simon said it was unclear what a forensic audit would entail, asking how specifically what such a proposal would do. He did not commit to the proposal, but said he would discuss the idea with Howe in private. 952-946-6205. I'll take some phone calls when we come back. We are running quite a bit late here. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break and come on back. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is amazing to me you can ask such outlandish questions and then try to argue that, oh, well, I'm just asking. I mean, what's wrong with due diligence? I don't know. The fact that there is no evidence that you have put forward in a court of law that any judge has said that's any evidence. It's hearsay for the most part. I mean, like I said, it's that guy that sent me the numbers who said, well, I'm not going to tell you the methodology. I'm not going to tell you what these numbers really mean, but they're gospel, Matt. You've got to believe this. Well, what are the numbers? Don't ask me to supply that. Just believe it. Just because you can ask a question. And once again, I want to make sure I'm very clear here. It's an outrageous question to ask about Mary Kiffmeyer and, you know, and things like that. That is an outrageous question. I would never ask that because there is no valid reason to ask that question. But, you know, wouldn't it be offensive if someone, all of a sudden demanded she answer questions about something like that? Of course it would be. And if she got upset, she would have a legitimate reason to get upset. And I can't just come back and say, well, I'm just asking the question. I'm just asking the question. You know, you have to have some level of maturity in what you are doing. And that is one thing that just does not exist for Republicans. Pat is in Prior Lake. Thanks for holding, Pat. Welcome on in.
Yeah, hi, Matt. I'll ask the question or whatever, and then I'll take it off air. Preface it. My disdain for Donald Trump doesn't make me objective. I think history will prove that out just by who he appoints. But my question, when people are fearful of Trump after he leaves office, I don't think he's going to have any power other than a bully mic to yell. And I would like you to riff on that and the gentleman from Iowa that you talk to tomorrow. He's a bully with no power after he leaves.
Pat, I'm going to actually step in because he actually has a tremendous amount of power because he has done something that, you know, it was truly horrible. He validated racism. I've always said that I understand why millionaires and billionaires vote for the guy. He gives them tons of money. I understand why racists vote for the guy because he has told the cockroaches, you don't have to scurry back under the fridge. You can come on out and be as racist as you want. I will enable you. That loyalty, they will never forget that. And I mean, they will have Trump posters up in their little compounds for hundreds of years because of that. He has power. The problem for him is that there's, you know, the state of New York has got a lot of legal questions for him, and a pardon does not excuse state crimes. My guess is he's going to be overseas. He will live overseas in either Russia or Saudi Arabia or maybe Turkey. And he will never step foot back in the United States again because he knows he'll be arrested and charged with a crime. Steve is in Minneapolis. Welcome on in, Steve.
Hello, Matt. Two quick points. I would like to know what you know about this lawsuit that the Texas AG is doing against other states. And secondly, I have to gently admonish you that please don't tease Jack Rice interview when you can't absolutely deliver. I love that guy.
Sorry about that. I was hoping to have him on yesterday. We'll try to get him on before too long. Thank you, Steve. The Texas interview, in case you missed it, the Attorney General of Texas is now suing directly to the Supreme Court with a few other Republican Attorney Generals, that the Supreme Court should just throw out the election results for Georgia, Arizona, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, enough to basically flip the election to Trump. And so, the first thing I said is, well, okay, does he understand jurisdiction? Does he understand overreach? Does he understand standing? I don't think he does. So Roberta is in Maple Grove. She wanted to chime in today. Hello, Roberta.
Hey, I just wanted to, when you were talking about how everybody's so afraid of Trump.
Okay.
I don't think the people in McConnell's level of the party, I don't think they're afraid of him. I think they're hoping he's going to win. He's going to figure out a way to do this because then they'll be in power forever and their hands won't be dirty because, well, you know, Trump did it. But wow. No, I think they very definitely, a good segment of them are people talk about how, well, in the background they're saying that they feel bad, but they don't want to. No, I don't think so.
You know, and Roberta, I think you're, to a point, you're exactly right. And I think what you've got here is a lot of people who want to be on the point of this, who want to be the person who is pushing this narrative, but they also want the culpability. It's like when they're saying, when he's asking a Secretary of State of, say, like Georgia to throw out the vote, he's not technically throwing out the vote. It's that Georgia Secretary of State. So if the Georgia Secretary of State all of a sudden is accused of treason, well, he can say, well, I just asked if he could. I didn't tell him to do it. That's kind of where they're at. When you get people, I mean, the Arizona Republican Party is now actually openly encouraging people to, I guess, commit violence against other people to try to win this for Trump. When someone does, they're going to come on out there and say, well, I never meant for someone to shoot a family. I just was saying that, you know, they're stealing your democracy. Isn't anyone going to stop them? For God's sakes, won't someone stop them? I didn't mean for that to be shooting. I mean, that's where these people are at. And look at Mary Kiffmeyer, like I said. She wants to act as if she's just earnest in doing due diligence. No. She's desperately, these Republicans are desperately trying to find some way that they can say Trump won so that they don't have to go back to their supporters and say, oh, he lost. Better luck next time. And this is just, you know, the entire notion, the entire idea that the Republicans are just, you know, we're dotting I's and crossing T's. It's beyond ludicrous at this point. Today is the day where the elections, this is the basically the day. All the elections are certified. This is certified. Done. Now, the Senate cannot contest the results of a state anymore. So henceforth, the results stand. The only state that had not completely certified the results is Wisconsin. That's not enough to basically overturn the election. Henceforth, Joe Biden's going to win this. And they can sit there and they can have their speeches, but at the end of the day, the only thing they can do is abstain. And that means still that Joe Biden is going to win. I feel sorry for people like Steve Simon, who are a decent politician, a decent man, trying to do the best he can. He doesn't deserve to have to sit there and answer questions about Bigfoot and Sasquatch and UFOs. He doesn't. He shouldn't have to. And it's an embarrassment that the Republican Party can't just say, hey, we lost. Because, I mean, I want to hear how you're going to say we lost, but only in districts, 2, 3, 4, and 5. None of the other districts, all those votes were same, but only in those districts. Those are the bad districts. So only in districts where Democrats won the House seats. Please. I want to hear how you're making that argument. You're just a disgrace. You're all just a disgrace at this point. Real quick, let me do really quick here the coronavirus update because the numbers are down again. We had another 3,080 new COVID infections reported Tuesday by Minnesota health officials, one of the lowest daily reports in several weeks. However, testing volume was also relatively low with 27,432. 22 more people have died from coronavirus yesterday, with 15 of them of residents of long-term care facilities. Minnesota officials will be watching this week to see if the case counts rise as a result of holiday travel. It's seeming to, and the national level, the numbers are going crazy again. It's seeming Thanksgiving, there's definitely an impact here from Thanksgiving. How bad it will get, we'll have to see, but there's definitely an impact. The good news is things are coming down in the upper Midwest. The bad news is the reason why they're coming down was they were so bad, there's pretty much only one way they could go, and that's start to get a little bit better. 952-946-6205. How about this? Jack Rice. They call, they ask. Jack Rice is going to be kind enough to join us when we come on back from the break. It is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Hi, this is Paul Metza. Thanks for listening to the Wall of Power Radio Hour for the last 5 years on AM 950. We air every Saturday night at 6 p.m. We have artists, musicians, private detectives, politicians, and more. On AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Have Next Chapter Booksellers help you find the perfect gift for this holiday season. Right now, you can schedule an in-person appointment and browse the selection of the season's best books. Their expert staff can make personal recommendations for everyone on your list. Plus, Next Chapter Booksellers sells games and puzzles to help you through these long winter months. Book your in-person appointment today by calling 651-225-8989 or visit nextchapterbooksellers.com.
Is it time to downsize but don't know where to start? Give the House Geeks with Bricks Real Estate a call. We are experienced in making this process as smooth and as easy as possible. Whether it is with pricing your home or assistance in finding movers or any other professionals that you might need to help get your home ready, we are here for you. Take the worry away and give us a call today at 651-303-0019. Again, that is 651-303-0019 or online anytime at housegeeks.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. I did think we might have a Jack Rice interview yesterday. We have a caller call in saying, where's Jack Rice? Well, you ask and I shall deliver. Actually, Jack Rice delivers. JackRice.net. JackRice.net. Jack Rice is kind enough to join us because he was involved in the ruling yesterday involving the Christopher Columbus statue case. Hey, Jack.
Great to be with you again. How are you, Matt?
I'm glad to have you back as well, my friend. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing just great.
The to talk about the case. I mean, once again, it was a community service ended up person who was deemed the ringleader, I guess you could say, when the case where the Columbus statue was pulled down.
Well, this was really huge. It really was, because there was so much going on for the last 6 months and we couldn't talk about it. Everything was embargoed. And so it's all coming out now. And this is something that my legal partner, Willow Anderson, and I were working on for the last 6 months. So this is actually what happened. So Mike Forshear was charged with pulling down the Christopher Columbus statue on June 10th in front of the Capitol. Everybody saw this all over the world. Ted Cruz called him American Taliban. The president went after him and many, many others. But there was this broader question. What do you do with a situation that isn't as simple as one would assume? Because you look at the statue and what it said at the base of it was the discoverer of America. Well, first of all, he wasn't. But number two, you can look at the history that is verifiable, and what they say very clearly is that this guy was a genocidal sex slaver. It's what he was. So the question is, what do you do with something like that? And so that was the challenge that we faced. And boy, did we take this in a unique direction.
The ruling is, and to a point, I think the ruling is kind of spot on, and for this reason. You're right. Christopher Columbus, why the hell we have a statue of that absolute... I mean, he traded teenage girls as sex currency. He was a horrible human being. Why we have a statue up for him at all is a question. But there is the question of, do we just allow people, when they don't like a statue, to yank it down? So I got to admit, I like the fact that, okay, we'll have some community service here, but you know what? Let's not even put the Columbus statue back up. I mean, I think it's given us a moment to step back and realize maybe we should look at who we're looking up to as far as the people that we give statues to at the Capitol.
Well, it's so fascinating because the statue was put up in 1931. 24,000 people showed up when it was put up. And you have to understand, from the Italian-American community,
they were discriminated against hugely across the state of Minnesota, across the United States. People called them black, people used the N-word, all sorts of really horrible things. And what they were looking for was equality. So I sort of appreciate where they were trying to go. Their intention wasn't to crush. Their intention was to rise up themselves. So that makes it more complicated. And that also assumes that there's some homogenous belief on what should happen, even in the Native American community. So here's what happened. We actually were able to create three different sets of circles. And those circle groups, these were groups, which included law enforcement, Catholic priests, religious leaders, people of in the faith community, very senior politicians, people in different Native American tribes, African American groups, all sorts of people involved. The first circle was designed to talk about how this harmed them, that it was pulled down, this idea that can anybody do anything whenever they want? What about the rule of law? The second circle was about doing something else. It was about the harm of putting that statue and keeping that statue up. And then finally, the third circle was involving bringing all of those groups together, including Mike. So Will Anderson and I were involved in all three of these statues, involved in getting all of these things together and making all of this happen, and trying to get it to be not so political that people wouldn't be driven to make their decisions and hold on to them desperately. So this was an incredible conversation, and it was so atypical from the criminal justice standpoint that I deal with and have been dealing with for 25 years.
I know there were some of the Republicans were even pushing back at Fort Snelling calling itself Bedote, the traditional Native American land name for the land. Have you had any pushback on this ruling at all?
Yes, of course there was. And there still will be, and I do understand it. And honestly, part of what this is about, and this, by the way, is the outcome, the prosecution itself was actually suspended. So in other words, there was no ultimate conviction in this case. There will be 100 hours of community service for Mr. Forsha, but it's really to work in the community. And a big part of that is to have those conversations. I mean, part of this is actually the dialogue where people feel the way they feel. Look, they can be justified to explain why they feel the way they feel. And I have had pushback myself in the last 24 hours. And so, I mean, we had threats against Mike, against me, when this started to happen. So under those circumstances, the purpose now is to continue that dialogue, to have those conversations. And for those people, some in the Italian-American community, we're going to have those. And other communities as well, even the Native American community, we're going to have those too. Because if you feel that way, let's better understand what binds us together. And maybe we start to realize the way we feel is a lot more similar than we think.
Jack, congratulations on this ruling. I think it's landmark, but I also think we're on a stepping stone, a start point of reevaluating what we do honor here in the state of Minnesota.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I think this is potentially the blueprint for something even nationwide. I've never seen anything like it in 25 years. Thousands and thousands of appearances. This is unique.
Absolutely outstanding. JackRice.net. JackRice.net for all your Jack Rice needs. We'll spotlight this interview as well. Jack, thank you very much. I appreciate the time.
Thank you, brother.
Take care. Jack Rice, once again, and we hadn't talked about this case. Christopher Columbus, I understand. I grew up in Rhode Island. I was born in Minnesota. I grew up a good chunk in Rhode Island, which is a ton of Italians out there. They treat Christopher Columbus as a patron saint. The guy, by his own admission, was horrible. Horrible. You can't deny this. We can do better. There's a lot of people out there who have done a lot of good things that deserve to be honored with a statue at the state capitol. Christopher Columbus is not one of them. Good job, Jack. We're back tomorrow with Stein. Until then, see ya.